This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Robert Koch and Louis Pasteur are two scientists whose names may sound vaguely familiar. These two researchers of the 1800s are responsible for saving millions of lives by discovering the connection between bacteria and disease. But were you aware that not all bacteria are bad? In reality, we need a balanced microbial population of bacteria, fungi, algae, protozoa, and viruses to stay alive and for such marvelous things as beer, wine, cheese, and bread. But of the 100 trillion microbes that can be found in and on an animal's body, only 1% of them can be cultured in a lab. So how do we pinpoint the microbial makeup of disease? How do we eradicate the bad bugs while not disrupting the exquisitely delicate equilibrium of the remaining microbes? And oh yes, how do we not give rise to superbugs that defy all the antibiotics in our arsenal? My guest is Dr. Janina Krumbick. She is the Director of Microbiome Applications at MyDog. MyDog is using the latest advancement in DNA testing to ensure that our pets can live long and healthy lives. We'll be right back after this short break. There are just certain smells that bring me just absolute joy. The smell of a wood fire, burnt marshmallows, and bug spray. Those are all scents that remind me of tent camping when I was a kid in Yosemite National Park in California. Those are my happy smells. But there are some smells that you find in a house that you should never encounter, and that's a litter box. What I found that works fabulously is Arm & Hammer Clump & Seal. It seals and destroys the odor on contact for 7 days of an odor-free home. Guaranteed. Now, I personally think you should scoop your box on a daily basis, but sometimes you gotta let that box wait a day or two. So don't let your house smell like a litter box. Get Arm & Hammer Clump & Seal. Arm & Hammer, more power to you.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Dr. Krumbick, I had the honor of attending one of your presentations, and I thought I knew a fair amount of veterinary medicine and microbes, and I came away with a totally new understanding. So thank you very much for being a guest today.
I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
So in my introduction, I mentioned that you're the Director of Microbiome Applications. That's a word that people may know a little bit about. What's the difference between microbes and microbiome?
So the microbiome are all the microbes that live together with us in and on our bodies. So this includes all the bacteria and fungi and viruses and protozoa, like you mentioned in your introduction. And all these microbes that live with us, they are really important for our health. They help us digest food components. They help us with the development of our immune system and so on. So it's a really complete ecosystem of microbes that lives together with us, about 100 trillion for every human. So it's
that
quite
is
a
just
lot of them.
Huge. Wow. So they really are important for more things other than just beer and wine and cheese and bread. So we keep alive because of them. So you are now with MyDog. What is MyDog? What's that company? That's something that people, I don't think you've ever heard of, the company MyDog.
Yeah, MyDog is a diagnostic company. We are located in Irvine, California, and we offer novel microbial analysis to veterinarians to treat infections in animals. Unlike other microbial diagnostic tools, we use state-of-the-art DNA sequencing to detect pathogens in pet samples, and that completely independent of culturing techniques that you may know from your visits to the veterinarian.
What I find, you know, so many times my clients are walking through the door and their pet maybe has a little bit of a cough, or there's the skin has little lumps and bumps, or the eyes are irritated. And one of the things we've all kind of grown up with and just expect, you go to your doctor and you're going to get antibiotics. But what's the risk of treating every condition that walks through the door with these drugs?
So we might not even know that it is indeed a bacterial infection. There are so many other causes for infection, for example, fungi as well. But bacteria tend to grow a little faster in the laboratory. So when your veterinarian sends a sample for culture testing, the fungal microbial profile might not go recognized at all. And so you might be prescribed an antibiotic, even though you are dealing with a fungal or even a viral infection. And we have now this race of all these multi-resistant bacteria that are resistant to every single antibiotic that humankind has developed to this time. And it is estimated that by 2050, about 10 million people in the US will die from bacterial infections that are caused by these multi-resistant bacteria. So it is really important that we only use antibiotics when we really need them, and to avoid a broad spectrum antibiotics that can lead to multi-resistant bacteria.
You mentioned these multi-resistant bacteria, and every once in a while you hear about a person that tried this drug and that drug. And I've had dogs and cats that have come into my practice too, where, as you mentioned, you do a culture and you look for these bacteria and you go, ah, okay, that's going to be it. And you just can't get on top of it. So with antibacterial resistance, it seems like it's a problem for us, problems for our pets, that we're going to destroy ourselves from trying to cure everything with antibiotics. And it can lead to these some really nasty chronic diseases, can't they?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we see the rise of chronic infection more and more. And of course, no one wants to see their pet in pain, and everyone wants to resolve the infection as fast as possible. But the effective treatment of a disease always requires the accurate diagnosis of the patient. Infectious diseases are no exception to this rule. However, currently more than 90 million Americans are suffering from chronic infections every year. And we see a similar situation with our pets, where chronic infections and treatments are just not working. And I believe that this situation is simply not acceptable. We need to be able to diagnose the infection sufficiently and faster to reduce the suffering. And I believe the currently used method for diagnosis are simply outdated, and they're centuries old, and there must be a better way. And that's why we developed the MyDoc test for our pets.
So you're talking about these old way of diagnosing, and I think many of the people listening in right now will have heard or have gone to their veterinarian, like, I'll have a dog with a chronic ear problem, and that seems to be so, so common. So it comes in with an ear problem. We first see it and go, okay, let's try this medication. And it seems to kind of get better and not. And it comes back again. And then we treat it again with another antibiotic. Still not getting better. Okay, we spent this time, we spent this money. Now let's culture it, which is taking a sterile Q-tip, basically. I send it to my lab. The lab will put it on these little trays, these little round circle things with this jello material in it, agar. They'll find the bacteria, and it's still not getting better. So what does my dog do differently than this? You'd mentioned DNA testing. DNA is picking up. What is it picking up?
So yeah, like you mentioned, the agar testing has been around since the 1880s. So it's very old and completely inadequate to really capture all the microbes that are there, because only 1% will grow in the lab. But we can use microbial DNA instead, and that's what we're using for the MyDoc test. So with this microbial DNA, we can detect the pathogens very reliably and diagnose infections. And we are completely bypassing all the issues with culture testing. So we are not trying to grow these microbes in the lab, which can take days or weeks, especially for fungi, but we just extract all microbial DNA at once and then use DNA sequencing to know exactly who is there. And with that, you don't need to worry about whether it's a bacterial or a fungal. You just get all the DNA at once. And we did have indeed a few cases where we have these ear infections that can be really painful for the patients. It was a specifically a little dog called Heidi. a 13-year-old dachshund, and she had chronic ear infections for a really long time. And her veterinarian, just like you described, sent samples from her ears for culture testing, and it always came back with a certain bacteria, a staphylococcus. So he was prescribing antibiotics to treat the bacterium, but it would just not improve over time. And then the veterinarian sent those ear samples to us at MyDog, and we found that there were indeed bacteria, but more importantly, there was a huge fungal infection in Heidi. She had an overgrowth of a Malassezia species that was 85% of her entire microbial microbiome was just this one fungus. And so her vet then started treating her with an antifungal ointment and was able to completely clear up her ears, and bilateral ear ablation was avoided. So those are really these kind of success stories that we see with the MyDog test, where we are completely independent of culturing. We just capture all the culprits that are present in the sample.
You'd mentioned ear ablation, and some of the listeners may not be familiar with that. And ear ablation seems like the most horrid, and it is just it's a last-ditch effort. And it is a procedure that's typically done by a boarded surgeon because it is so difficult. So imagine your little dog and you lift up its little ear flap, if you have like a Labrador with little floppy down ears, and typically you're going to see this opening into an ear canal. Well, after the surgery, you lift up that little ear flap and all there is skin, because that entire ear canal and all the tissue is taken away. And an ear canal doesn't go just straight into the skull like it would for you or I, but it actually goes alongside of the face and then almost at the angle of the jaw, takes a really sharp right angle turn. So it's not an easy procedure by any stretch of the imagination. It's not an inexpensive procedure. It's not a not painful situation, but sometimes it's the only thing that will work. And now, Dr. Crumbeck, you're saying my dog found, oh, yes, there's bacteria, but there's fungi. Get rid of that. And Heidi, thankfully, has both her little ear canals now. That's fabulous.
Yeah, she does. And her owner was so happy. And that these are really the kind of stories that keep us going.
One of the things that you've kind of already touched on, where you have a culture, I will send a culture in for a urine sample, for instance. Boy, looks like it, sounds like it, the pet's acting like it has a urinary tract infection. And I get a culture back, usually 7 to 10 days, that says, nope, there's nothing there. And why is that again that you find no growth, nothing there when you do a culture?
Yeah, so especially samples like urine, culturing can be extremely difficult. So some of the bacteria in the urine are highly sensitive to oxygen. And as soon as they leave the bladder, whether it's by just going to the bathroom of your pet or you collect the urine with a cysto, they meet all this oxygen from the air around us and they may die right away, or they die on the way to the laboratory. Even though these bacteria were initially growing and causing infections in your pet's bladder. So especially for urinary tract infections or diarrhea cases, we see a lot of fungi and bacteria that were previously undetected because they're so difficult to grow in the laboratory. Only 1% of all microbes around us will grow in the laboratory in the first place. And you really have to have the perfect growth conditions for these bacteria in order to detect them. I have so many veterinarians that tell me, I put the sample from my patient under the microscope and I saw those bacteria, I saw those rods or cocci, and I know they're there because I even saw them. But once the sample goes to the lab, it returns no growth. And of course, that can be very frustrating.
And expensive.
For sure, yeah. All these recurring culturing techniques, because then you have to order culturing with and without oxygen, different media. And once you actually grow them, then you have to do the antibiotic resistance profiling. So it can really take a lot of time to then in the end come back with the no growth results. And that's so frustrating. But with using DNA instead, there is no sample that's ever sterile. Bacteria are everywhere. And so are fungi. Even in urine, which was previously considered to be relatively sterile, it's clearly not. But with this DNA evidence, you can really track down all these microbes that are there.
I'm speaking right now with Dr. Janina Crumbeck. She is the head of microbiome applications at MyDog, learning some fascinating things. And we're going to learn a lot more right after this short break. So stay tuned. Be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
My dog, Mojo, was half beagle and half coonhound. He ate everything in sight. He would swallow things whole, including a chicken carcass, a bird nest with a bird in it, and assorted stones and sticks. We had to take him to the veterinary emergency room. After surgery, Mojo had skin issues. He was constantly itching and scratching, chewing on his feet, and chewing the hair right off of his legs, being irritated, lethargic, and just not the same dog.
DINOVITE.com.
When we put him on the Dynavite, he took right to it. All of these symptoms disappeared.
Dynavite is nutrition.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
Something that he actually likes to eat. You need to put him on Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
If you love your dog, you don't just want him healthy, you want him to be happy.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
DINOVITE.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Crumbeck, what you mentioned is that, boy, you get these samples. They have bacteria. They have fungi. Yes, we always thought urine was sterile. And now you're saying, no, there's bacteria, fungi, all these different organisms. When you take a sample, then how do you know which ones are the ones that are pathogenic, the ones that may be causing issues?
So we just take the DNA from all of them, and then we use novel DNA sequencing to really just sequence all bacteria and all fungi that are there. And so you have these millions of reads of DNA sequences from all the microbes comprising a sample and all at once. And then once you have this DNA, it's filtered, quality controlled. It all takes a lot of efforts for bioinformaticians. But then you assign those microbial species against a database. So people all around the world are working on what is a pathogen, novel pathogens that we previously didn't know because they were so difficult to call in the lab, and they all deposit this information into databases. So when we have a patient sample, we can run all the bacteria and all the fungi that we find against this database and see, okay, this organism is indeed a pathogen. It has these and these antibiotic resistances, or this organism is a commensal. It's naturally living with us, and it's a sign of a clinically healthy patient. And at MyDog, we went a few steps further and we sampled thousands of dogs all over the United States from different breeds, different ages. And we went from their nose to their toes and really sampled all the different locations on these animals to see what a clinically healthy microbiome looks like. So we do know that there are pathogens always around us, but that doesn't mean that there is any infection, because the rest of the microbiome might keep them at bay. And so they're just there, but they're not causing any problems. And when we get a clinical sample from a dog in, we can compare directly, how does this sample compare to a clinically healthy patient? And if there are pathogens, are they within a normal range, or are they overgrowing? Are they indeed causing a problem for this individual?
Is there a difference regionally? So the bacteria that you're going to find, the fungi that you're going to find, or people might think of fungi as yeast, another word, does it vary from California to New York to Louisiana?
A little bit, but it's mostly because of seasons or whether or not the dog is inside or outside. So when your dog is running through the bushes or through the woods, we will detect some more microbes from the trees, from the plants around them. So overall, dogs do have an individual microbiome, just like we humans do, but there is an overall core microbiome that we see in clinically healthy dogs and versus clinically symptomatic dogs. So we can distinguish to a certain degree very clearly when a sample comes in, this is from a clinically healthy dog or this is from a dog that has any kind of infection.
So regionally and seasonally, it changes. Is it also variable according to breed?
For breed, we did not see clear signals. So it's really by the individual or whether or not the dog is living together with a cat or on a farm. We do see a little bit of influence on the diet, especially raw food diets will have an impact on the intestinal microbiome. And of course, dogs scratch and run around all the time. So the microbiome from the nose to the toe gets distributed over the whole body as well.
And people have watched enough TV series to go, oh, DNA testing. They must need blood. It must be an invasive procedure to get this done for my pet. What does your My Dog testing involve? I know I did it at my practice and it's like, oh, this is really easy.
Yes, it is very easy. The test looks similar to a Q-tip. So it's a sterile swab and you just take it out of the pouch and only touch the patient, whether or not it's a toe infection or a skin infection. So you just only gently swab the area. And then we can also use urine or feces. So this test is not invasive at all. And
so I find it amazing you're saying even feces, because you think, boy, that is just going to be a plethora of all these various bugs. But exactly, that's what you're looking for.
Yes, feces is full of bacteria and fungi, 10 to the 12 different organisms per gram of feces. So we really find a lot. And so but we get a lot of diarrhea cases where there are all these pathogens that were not able to grow in the lab before. So this test really works for all kinds of samples, even for blood if needed, but any kind of swab, nose, throat, skin, anything, and any kind of species too.
And it's going to vary across the United States as to what one veterinarian charges for a culture. But basically, it seems like it's going to have to be extremely expensive because of all the technology. And anytime something is new always seems to be very expensive. How does My Dog DNA sequencing compare typically to the regular culture that we do at the diagnostic labs?
Oh, the price is very comparable to aerobic culturing. So when you go to the veterinarian, they might order aerobic culturing, so with oxygen, or anaerobic culturing without the oxygen, then for bacteria, and then for yeast, and then on top of that, the antibiotic resistance profile. So those prices really add up quick. With the MyDog test, you have all these things in just one single test, and the price is very comparable to aerobic culture testing.
And you also find out what antibiotics, or if it's a fungi, do you tell the veterinarian what medication to use for that also?
At this time, only for antibiotic resistances. But we do have a complete list of then all the different antibiotics that are available to your veterinarian to treat your patient. And we can tell them, based on our DNA profile, we would recommend using this one. But we did find resistances against other antibiotics that we would not recommend using.
So we don't get those super bugs, because we're now really pinpointing what to use, how much to use, and for how long to use it.
Correct. And these super bugs are such an increasing health problem for all of us. It's really so important that we know exactly, am I dealing with a bacterial infection in the first place? And that we have these better diagnoses for the really guided treatment decisions for your pet to reduce the suffering.
This is a technology that is just amazing. You'd mentioned Heidi, and here is one little dog who you saved her ears because you found out it wasn't just bacteria, that there was a fungal component to this. Do you have some other cases you could tell us about how My Dog has saved the day?
Oh, yeah, we have plenty. So we get so many samples in, and we're always so excited when some of the veterinarians or owners are sharing the story with us. And another one of our clients was Chloe. She was a 10-year-old lab mix, and she was suffering from chronic dermatitis. It was really bad, and her veterinarian strongly suggested to euthanize her because she was just in so much pain. And we then ran the MyDog test on her skin swabs and found that she had a co-infection with two different bacteria, one of which were previously undetected by her veterinarian. So she had Staphylococcus and Streptococcus, and with a multitude of different antibiotic resistances, which explained why the antibiotic treatment that her veterinarian was giving her at the time didn't work. And then we gave the MyDog report to a veterinarian, and then he changed the antibiotic treatment and was able to save Chloe. And we also get other animals like cockatiels. Recently, we had a cockatiel called Dusty, and she had a chronic oral cavity infection. And again, her vet even called us and was like, I see the cocci under the microscope. I know they're there, but nothing grew in the lab. And we ran the MyDog test on her as well. And we found a co-infection with Haemophilus and Klebsiella pneumoniae. So some really nasty bacteria that were just undetected before. And so this veterinarian was particularly excited when we found all these organisms, and then he was able to treat based on that.
You'd mentioned using a cockatiel. So I'm sure a lot of people are listening going, my dog, my dog. Well, that's nice. I don't have a my dog. I have a my cat, or I have a my bird, or I have a my fish. What can you do for them?
So the MyDog test really works on all kinds of different animals. The only difference is that we know what exactly a clinically healthy dog looks like, so we can compare the microbiome to a gold standard. But for any other animal, we can still detect all the pathogens and all the antibiotic resistances as well. And we can give the report to the veterinarian, and we provide a list of all the pathogens that we find and which ones are more traditionally considered commensal bacteria, so that are there normally and they should be there. And so the MyDog test really works on all kinds of species. We get bunnies, we get parrots or bearded dragons, and we even have some dolphin samples come in. And you wouldn't believe how excited our technicians were when we received some feces from a dolphin. It was like
the things that make technicians happy: poop from a dolphin. Okay.
Yeah, that was a fun day. Yeah.
And what was wrong with the dolphin?
He had a blowhole infection. So he was being treated on antibiotics for a while and it wouldn't clear up. And so we started looking at other samples of this dolphin as well, because the antibiotics were given orally. And so we wanted to see if there was an effect on the intestinal microbiome profile as well. So we are in progress to find out what does a healthy dolphin look like as well.
And did you fix it?
He's still in treatment. The symptoms cleared up, but we are following this dolphin over now, I think now 4 months or so. And he's overall doing better, but we really wanted to make sure that it wasn't a recurring infection. And that's one of the great advantages of this test as well, because when we take a sample from an animal before the antibiotic treatment and then after the antibiotic treatment, we can see exactly which of the microbes responded to the treatment, which one are dying off and are getting reduced, and which other ones might be coming in to replace the ones that are now gone. So you can really monitor the effect of any treatment on your pet's microbiome over time.
Wow. So I'm sure my listeners are going, this is amazing. This is so different than anything I've ever heard of before. All right, I guess I have to just sit back and wait for my veterinarian to offer it to me. Is there anything that a pet owner can do to stay abreast of what's going on with my dog? Do they have to go through their veterinarian to get this done? What can a pet owner who's listening to this show right now, what can they do?
So at this time, we are providing the MyDog test to veterinarians because we have this list of all the pathogens and antibiotic resistances that really require a veterinarian to go over the report together with their patients and the patient owner to really determine how to treat this infection. We have more information on our website. That is MyDog test. That's MIDOGTEST.com. And where you can also sign up for our newsletter. And if you want to talk to your vet about MyDog, please feel free to reach out to us. We can provide more information to your veterinarian to really explain what this test does, how it's beneficial compared to culturing, so you can get this test ordered for your pet right away.
And don't fault your veterinarian if you bring this to their attention and they go, what dog? I've never heard of this. Dr. Krumbeck, this is a fairly new company, correct?
Correct. Yeah, we have just been around for about a year, but we have been studying the canine or the dog microbiome for about 4 years or so. So we really did a lot of research of what a healthy microbiome is. And we are a spin-off out. Our scientists are experts in microbiology and in the extraction of microbial DNA. So we have everything from the sample collection devices on how to preserve the microbiome while it's on the way to our laboratory, how to extract the DNA efficiently, how to assign the pathogenicity and the antibiotic resistances. But yes, other than that, we are fairly new. So your veterinarian might not have heard about us yet, but we're always happy to reach out to them and explain more of what this test does.
And I think it's fabulous because after listening to you and your presentation to our local veterinary organizations, like, thank you. I see so many cases that this is going to help me with. I've already used it, gotten the readout, and saw this plethora of all these various bacteria, but you've guided me as to what to use, how much to use, and it gives me such another great piece in my armamentarium of how to treat pets. And I really appreciate it. looking forward to seeing my dog and this technology really move ahead. Because as you're saying, what we've used before is 200 years old and it's good, but now there's something better. So thank you very much for some fascinating and I think maybe extremely helpful technology.
Well, thank you very much for having us.
Well, this has been Dr. Bernadine Cruz talking to Dr. Janina Krumbeck. She is the Director of Microbiome Applications at MyDog. If you have any questions, you can go to their website, MyDogTest, MIDOGTES.com. Ask your veterinarian, go online, learn yourself some more, and come back next week where we'll have more information on how to make you the best possible pet owner. Thanks for listening. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.